This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
the Bank of Japan caps a tumultuous year with an upgrade to its economic outlook.
Lloyds Banking Group makes a $2.4 billion purchase from Bank of America.
As the calendar year comes to an end, we'll tell you which hedge funds were the biggest winners and losers of 2016.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel says authorities are working on the assumption that what happened at a Berlin Christmas market was a terrorist attack. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Carolina beat Washington in Monday Night Football. That helps the Giants' playoff hopes. Giants getting ready for Thursday's game in Philadelphia. All the local hockey and hoop teams back in action tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Norton from Symatic. To help protect you in a changing digital world, Norton plans to join forces with LifeLock. When combined, they'll redefine digital safety and help you gain control of your privacy, security, and identity.
We have some headlines here crossing the Bloomberg. One on Facebook. Facebook got an EU antitrust complaint over its WhatsApp deal. The European Commission said Facebook may have provided incorrect or misleading information when it sought EU approval to buy WhatsApp in 2014. We're also hearing that Turkey's central bank left its key lending rates unchanged. Futures this morning are trading higher. S&P E-mini futures up 0.3%. Dow E-mini futures up 22. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany is little change. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield 2.56%. Yield on the 2-year 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $52.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $6.90 to $11.3580 an ounce. The yen is at 117.90. The euro, $1.0391.
In Germany today, authorities are beginning their investigation into yesterday's attack that killed a dozen people and injured 48 when a truck driver rammed into crowds at a market in West Berlin. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is calling the incident a terror attack, and we'll bring you the latest details on the story as it develops this morning. But first, we check the latest business and economic news from around the world.
The Bank of Japan has kept monetary policy unchanged at its December meeting, and Bloomberg's Sherry An reports from Tokyo.
The BOJ maintained the policy rate at minus 0.1% and the 10-year yield target at around 0%. Now, the BOJ faces a trickier situation. With global bond yields spiking, the Japan 10-year yield has soared to the highest level since January. And Governor Kuroda saying that he thinks the appropriate yield curve has been achieved and that it's too soon to discuss raising the long-term yield target. But BOJ Governor Haruhiko Kuroda did acknowledge that Japan's prices are still far from the BOJ inflation target. He did say, though, that a weak yen would be a factor to boost prices and that he doesn't see the yen as excessively weak now. Sherry An, Bloomberg, Tokyo.
Sherry, thank you. Stocks in Asia finished mostly lower today after that BOJ announcement, with the regional index hitting a two-week low. Bloomberg's Juliet Saleh reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Stocks in Hong Kong and China were sold off. Chinese equities listed in Shanghai hitting an eight-week low amid waning turnover, oil producers and banks leading the declines. The Hang Seng hovering at a five-month low. In Japan, though, the equity picture was much brighter. The Bank of Japan holding fire as predicted, and that saw the yen fall for the first time in three sessions to a 10-month low, boosting equities. Aussie yields, stocks and the dollar rose after the RBA released its minutes from the December meeting, and stocks in New Zealand also closed in the black. Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Trading underway in Europe this morning. For some of the top stories, we bring in Bloomberg's Anna Edwards live from our London bureau. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. So European stocks are modestly higher this morning despite geopolitical tensions resulting from events in Turkey and, of course, in Berlin. Shares in Lloyds Banking Group are higher as the bank announced it's going to buy the MBNA UK credit card business from Bank of America for $2.4 billion in cash. This is the first major deal for the group since it was rescued during the financial crisis 8 years ago. The deal will lift Lloyds' share of the UK credit card market to about 26%, putting it in the same league as rival Barclays Barclaycard. Sticking with the banking sector, and shares of Credit Suisse are up by 0.8% as Reuters reports that the Swiss bank is nearing a settlement with U.S. investigators over its handling of mortgage-linked securities before the 2008 financial crisis. Also keeping an eye on the results of that Turkish central bank surprise decision to leave all interest rates unchanged that you mentioned, Karen, at the top of the hour. We do see some weakening in the Turkish lira as a result of that. The Turkish lira trades at 3.53 against the US dollar. There had been an expectation that we would see an increase in one of those rates. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg, Daybreak, London.
Anna, thank you. When it comes to hedge funds, winners and losers are emerging as the year comes to a close. That story from Bloomberg's John Metaxas.
Hedge funds focused on macro trends tended to produce the worst returns this year, while distressed debt funds profited from a rally in oil prices. At the top of the list are two smaller firms, Proxima Capital and the Murdoch Distressed Opportunity Fund, posting returns of 44 and 35% respectively. Equity fund Oda European, with $8 billion under management, was the biggest loser, down 48% on the year. Hank Paulson and Bill Ackman are also among the worst performers, with the Paulson Advantage Fund losing 16% on the year and Pershing Square Holdings losing 13.5%. John Metaxas, Bloomberg Daybreak, New York.
Thanks, John. Meanwhile, the hedge fund industry's largest money manager is weighing in on possible economic changes under the presidency of Donald Trump. Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio says the incoming administration may have a much bigger impact on the U.S. economy than can be measured by tax changes and fiscal spending. In a post on the social networking site LinkedIn, Dalio said the Trump era could ignite animal spirits and attract productive capital.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen spoke at the University of Baltimore yesterday, telling graduates the U.S. labor market is the best in years.
After years of a slow economic recovery, you are entering the strongest job market in nearly a decade.
At the same time, Fed Chair Yellen said the economy still faces challenges. S&P E-mini futures currently up 3 points, 0.1%. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street this hour. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Mazda White Plains. Visit MazdaWhitePlains.com. The very latest now on that German attack from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob.
Ich bin wie Millionen von Menschen in Deutschland.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel says authorities believe it was a terror attack that left at least 12 people dead and 48 others injured in Berlin after a truck rammed into a crowded Christmas market. The truck smashed through tables and stands outside the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church near Berlin's Zoo Station Monday. Police say the driver purposely drove into the crowd of locals and tourists. A suspect is in custody. Russia's foreign minister says today's meeting in Moscow with his counterparts from Turkey and Iran will proceed despite yesterday's killing of the Russian ambassador to Ankara. Ambassador Andrei Karlov was shot in the back by a Turkish police officer who shouted against Russia's military role in Aleppo and elsewhere in Turkey. The officer was killed in a shootout with officers. Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke about the assassination in a televised address last night. Putin, through an interpreter.
The committed crime is obviously a provocation designed to spoil normalization of Russia-Turkey relations and derailing peace process in Syria, which is actively promoted by Russia, Turkey, Iran, and other countries interested in reconcilement of inter-Syria conflict.
First Lady Michelle Obama is preparing to leave the White House with her family next month to make way for President-elect Donald Trump. There has been some speculation that Mrs. Obama might run for office, but in an interview with Oprah Winfrey on CBS, the First Lady put that to rest.
Would you ever run for office? No. I have to ask it.
No.
No kind of office.
No. Look, that's one thing I don't do. I don't make stuff up. I'm not coy. I haven't proven that. I'm pretty direct. Yeah. If I were interested in it, I'd say it. I don't believe in playing games.
Mrs. Obama also says as a country, we need to make some room for each other. President Obama has pardoned 78 people and shortened the sentences of 153 others convicted of federal crimes. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Your Bloomberg NBC sports update now. John Stashower, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. It's been a rough season for the Carolina Panthers after 17 wins a year ago and a trip to the Super Bowl. Played the spoiler role last night in Washington.
Shotgun snap to Newton from the Redskin 30. Winds up. Long spiral pass down the middle. Wide open. Backpedaling. Standing up. Belt height. Touchdown reception. Ted Ginn Jr. Middle of the end zone. Down the middle of the field. Caught it. 30-yard touchdown strike.
Westwood won the call. Panthers beat the Redskins 26-15. A game with 7 field goals. Carolina now 6-8. Washington 7-6-1. So half game behind Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the race for the NFC's second wild card spot. The Giants own the first spot. Though they have not yet clinched, they can with one more win. They play Thursday in Philadelphia. The Eagles have lost 5 in a row. The back injury suffered Sunday by cornerback Janoris Jenkins, who's had a Pro Bowl caliber season, is likely to keep him from playing this week. Shane Vereen, the Giants' best running back catching passes, re-injured the same triceps that shut him down earlier. Also had a concussion in between. Vereen's likely done for the year. Jets quarterback Bryce Petty's got a bruised chest from last Saturday. He will play this Saturday at New England. Jacksonville, losers of 9 in a row, just fired coach Gus Bradley. Bronx native Doug Marrone, the offensive line assistant, the former head coach with Syracuse, and the Buffalo Bills will finish out the season. Word is 70-year-old Tom Coughlin is a candidate for the job next year. Before winning 2 Super Bowls with the Giants, Coughlin was the first coach in Jaguars history. Rangers will be looking for a little payback tonight in Pittsburgh. Penguins beat them 6-1 at the Garden last month. Rangers are 2 points ahead of the Penguins in the division. Knicks back home from the road trip where they won the first 2, lost the next 3. They'll host Indiana tonight. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Other sports news. The leader of a recent international investigation says widespread doping in Russian athletics will have consequences for sports around the world. Richard McClellan says global sponsors and fans will continue to abandon sports tainted by doping. A report released by McClellan earlier this month revealed more than 1,000 Russian athletes in at least 30 sports had benefited from using banned substances. 10-year Treasury prices down 7/32. The yield 2.56%. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Benzel Bush. The Mercedes-Benz winter event is now for the best values of the year. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Bush is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by J.P. Morgan Funds, building stronger portfolios by sharing expertise, insights, and a breadth of solutions across all asset classes. JPMorganFunds.com. Let's solve it. J.P. Morgan Distribution Services, Inc. It's 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Ray Dalio says Donald Trump will make big economic changes. The Bridgewater founder compared Trump with Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher in a LinkedIn post. Meanwhile, we're learning which hedge funds were winners and losers in 2016. Macro strategies produced some of the worst returns this year, and those focused on long-short equity generated a range of losers and winners. President Obama may ban new drilling rights in parts of the Arctic and Atlantic. People familiar with the matter say a 1953 law may allow him to block U.S. waters from oil and gas leasing. And Cuba is offering to send rum to the Czech Republic to pay off Cold War-era borrowings estimated at $270 million. That amount of rum would take the country more than a century to consume. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And we are watching Facebook. It's down 0.2%. It was sent an antitrust complaint by European Union regulators who say the company may have misled them when it sought approval to buy the WhatsApp messaging service in 2014. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points. Dow E-mini futures up 24. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. Yield 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $7.50. The euro, $1.0378. The yen, 117.91. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says authorities have to assume the Berlin incident was a terrorist attack. At least 12 people were killed and 48 others were wounded when a truck plowed into a crowd at a Christmas market in Berlin. Meanwhile, President-elect Donald Trump is blaming Islamic terrorism for Monday's deadly violence in Turkey and Germany. Without backing up his claim, Trump is blaming the Islamic State group and other Islamist terrorists for the deaths in Berlin. Trump says their networks must be eradicated from the face of the earth. Trump also says that a radical Islamic terrorist assassinated Russia's ambassador to Turkey yesterday. In sports, in Monday Night Football, the Redskins' playoff hopes were dented after losing to the Panthers 26-15. In the NBA, the Wizards won. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And good morning. Ben Barris is with us this morning. He edits the Bloomberg Economics Brief, which has a special edition out, looking at the year ahead, 2017. Ben, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So my New Year's wish after a tumultuous year is that things are finally going to calm down. What are the chances
good luck with
of
that.
That? Yeah.
That seems somewhat unlikely.
Now, what are you foreseeing in terms of instability in the world?
Well, obviously everything gets pretty real on January 20th when Trump takes office. And after that, it's, as we've seen from campaign rhetoric, almost anyone's guess as what's to come.
And one of the big factors there is, for lack of a better term, Trumponomics.
Trumponomics, yes. So Trump has spent the better part of the last 18 months making a lot of promises about just what he's going to do to get the economy back on track or make America great again. Now, what he may actually do, that remains to be seen. And until these tax reforms or fiscal stimulus measures can be implemented, the economy is still probably going to be led by the consumer.
And one of the big things that the markets are counting on, I think, is I saw somebody coin the term the other day, Trumpflation. What are the chances that that is going to happen if he doesn't get all these spending plans through Congress?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that I've heard that one. Inflation seems to be moving slowly towards the Fed's 2% goal. Whether or not that can be accelerated remains to be seen. Of course, it's very early at this point. Those policies that Trump has been gearing towards may not even be able to be pushed through until, you know, taxes 2018, fiscal policy, you know, towards the end of the year, maybe October, when the new fiscal year begins. So it's going to be a long road.
We have all these sort of undone things that make it appear that 2017 is just going to be a continuation of 2016. Brexit comes to mind, for example. Is that going to be resolved anytime soon?
I think that's what everyone would like, is a little stability. And UK Prime Minister Theresa May has made it very clear that she would like to get Brexit started by March at the latest, and we would like to believe that. I think that still remains to be seen at this point. Other than that, I think elections outside of the UK and upcoming in the Netherlands and France, later on in Germany.
A lot of hand-wringing about that.
There is still a lot that needs to be clarified in Europe.
And emerging markets, very quickly, what can we expect there?
Well, I think the expected rise in oil prices coming on the heels of an OPEC production cut, the first in about 8 years, will really that should have a lot of impact on Russia and the Middle East, UAE, Qatar, and we'll see what happens in Latin America, which is always in a state of sort of disarray.
And does it look like oil prices are headed up next?
Oh, I don't want to give any prognostications and step outside my pay grade there.
Okay. Ben Barris is with us this morning. He edits the Bloomberg Economics Brief, and you can read Ben's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function brief go. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points right now. That's a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 7/32. The yield at 2.56%. The 2-year yield at 1.23%. West Texas Intermediate crude up almost 0.5% to $52.35 a barrel. Brent crude higher by 1% at $55.45. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Your personal asset allocation strategy has many critical components. Do you have a good idea of what they are? Ask the wealth advisors at Eisner Amper, eisneramper.com/asset allocation.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is calling last night's attack an act of terror when a truck drove through a crowded market in West Berlin, killing 12 and injuring 48. And Russia's ambassador to Turkey was shot dead in Ankara yesterday. We'll bring you the latest on those events in just a few minutes.
But first, the Bank of Japan has upgraded its assessment of the Japanese economy while keeping its yield curve targets and asset purchase programs unchanged. The bank is forecasting a moderate recovery trend to continue, and the yen is trading at 117.92 against the dollar following the decision.
The Italian government has moved closer to a potential rescue of lenders by seeking permission from Parliament to increase the nation's public debt by as much as $21 billion. The plan is aimed at providing a backstop for the banking system to restore short and medium-term lending ability.
European Union regulators have sent an antitrust complaint to Facebook, saying it misled them when it sought approval to buy the WhatsApp messaging service in 2014. Facebook has until January 31st to respond and could face fines of up to 1% of annual sales.
FedEx set to deliver a quarterly result today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger tells us more.
Bloomberg Intelligence says an update on peak season operations is what investors will be most interested in hearing during the FedEx earnings call. Management has predicted a new record will be set with holiday deliveries topping 325 million. It's estimated 55,000 temporary workers were added to help handle the rush. Analysts predict FedEx will post an adjusted profit of $2.90 a share on revenue of $14.9 billion. The company gets 19 buy ratings, 9 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 4% yesterday to close at 11.71. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down another 0.6% to 11.64. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 26. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 5. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield 2.56%. Yield on the 2-year 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 23 cents at $52.35 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by SS&C, an innovation leader in solutions and services for investment accounting, asset management, wealth management, and fund administration. SS&C, smart people, superb technology. Bloomberg's Michael Barr is about to take us to the scene of that Berlin attack for the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Obama has offered German Chancellor Angela Merkel help after a truck plowed into a crowd of people at the Berlin Christmas market. At least 12 people were killed and 48 others were injured. Bloomberg's Matt Miller joins us live from the market in Berlin. Matt, we understand that Angela Merkel spoke to the nation about the attack. She was shaken.
Yes, she was. She said she was horrified and didn't want to believe it, but she said that the government would operate right now on the premise that this was a terrorist attack, and we know that they do have at least one suspect in custody.
About that suspect, now there is that person in custody, and there was a passenger in the truck that was killed. The owner of the truck believes it was hijacked. Can you comment on that?
I mean, I don't have any evidence either way, and the German police are typically very conservative with the information that they'll give out. We do know from German media reports that there was a passenger in the truck who was apparently shot and killed, and that there was another body found at the Christmas market also shot and killed. So the speculation is that that truck was hijacked. The two people in the truck, both of Polish nationality, were shot and killed by the suspect. Of course, that's only speculation. It hasn't been confirmed. And also, according to Bild Zeitung, which is the most widely read newspaper in Germany, the suspect in custody is apparently denying that he was responsible for the attack.
And we understand that German officials have ordered flags at federal buildings to be flown at half staff today.
Yes, of course. The Germans take this very seriously. We haven't had a terrorist attack on German soil of this magnitude since the disco bombing in 1985. So it's been quite some time. And, of course, in light of the almost a million refugees that have come into this country in the last couple of years, it's very difficult for Germans to deal with, and Chancellor Merkel made this point as well, except the fact that it's possible that somebody who was taken in, given asylum and protection by Germany, would then turn around and commit a crime like this on German soil.
Bloomberg's Matt Miller live from Berlin at the site of the market where a truck plowed into a crowd, killing at least 12 people. The Electoral College made it official and cleared the way for Republican Donald Trump to become the 45th president of the U.S. Trump finished with 304 votes, and Hillary Clinton had 227. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:36 on Wall Street. We move along to your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. John Steshauer, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The Washington Redskins surprise winners of the NFC East last season. Third place now in last night's 26-15 home loss to Carolina severely hurts their wild card playoff hopes. Panthers outrushed the Skins 148-29. Got four field goals from Graham Gano. The biggest play was the first of the second half. Strip sack of Kirk Cousins that led to a Carolina touchdown. The Washington coach is Jay Gruden.
It's my responsibility to get these guys ready to play. We weren't as ready as I would like to have been. We didn't execute like I would like to have seen, and that falls on my shoulders. But we still have two games left to look forward to, and hopefully get a victory against Chicago Saturday.
And then they finish out with the Giants, who need one more win to secure a wild card. They'll visit Philadelphia Thursday. Eagles started the year 3-0. They've gone 2-9 since. Two Giants injuries of note. Running back Shane Vereen re-injured the same triceps that shut him down earlier. He's likely done for the year. Cornerback Janoris Jenkins has a back injury. Seems doubtful for Thursday. Big debate. Did Christian McCaffrey quit on his team, not playing for Stanford in the upcoming bowl game, to not risk an injury that would hurt his draft status? NBA Russell Westbrook continues to put up crazy numbers. Last night, 48 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. The Oklahoma City lost to Indiana. Indiana beat Washington. Pacers visit the Knicks tonight. Knicks lost their last three on the recent road trip. Rangers visit Pittsburgh tonight. That's for first place, with Columbus just behind them. They've won 9 in a row. College basketball, Syracuse by 48 over Eastern Michigan. Army lost at St. Bonaventure. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Steshauer. Bob?
John, thank you very much. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz winter event is now for the best values of the year. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey. Now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. One of the least discussed but most economically consequential challenges of the incoming Trump administration may be what to do with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-controlled entities that own or guarantee half of U.S. home mortgages. Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary wants to put housing finance back into private hands. It's a sensible goal, but it won't be easy to reach. Fannie and Freddie operated as privately owned corporations until they had to be rescued in 2008, and they have been wards of the state ever since. So how can the government extract itself? Fannie and Freddie have taken a significant step forward by beginning to sell a new kind of security that transfers risk to private investors. This could be used to help attract enough private capital to cover at least a 6% loss on guaranteed mortgages, more than enough to weather a crisis like 2008. Such a system would align the price of guarantees with the cost of private capital and give private lenders an opportunity to regain market share. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
Bloomberg this View has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker.
When governments and private entities try to encourage business formation, the usual avenues include financing and training. But research by the Kauffman Foundation suggests those approaches miss the mark. In his report, Enabling Entrepreneurial Ecosystems, Philip Oswald at George Mason University also argues the current systems in place favor existing businesses at the expense of innovators.
Regulation actually is on the side of existing business because existing business knows how to comply with relatively complex regulation or procurement procedures. And so when government simplifies procurement procedures, makes it accessible to new entrants, then that's really what is favorable to an entrepreneurial ecosystem.
He says policymakers shouldn't necessarily be afraid of creative destruction of existing companies because that usually breeds multiple startups. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John Tucker, thank you very much. U.S. stock index futures on the way up. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points, 0.2%. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Morel Fine Wines and Spirits, your essential source for the finest wines and greatest vintages. Find them at morelwine.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest gains in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently higher by 26 points. S&P's gained 3.5. Well, the Nasdaq futures climbed by 5. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.56%. Asia markets were mixed overnight. The BOJ upgraded its outlook on the economy and kept policy on hold. Well, European markets are also posting modest gains this morning. On the earnings front, look for BlackBerry, General Mills, and Carnival to report before the open. In other news, Facebook received an EU antitrust complaint over the WhatsApp deal. Uber's quarterly loss said to exceed $800 million after their Chinese exit, and Fortress to buy a significant portion of UniCredit's bad loans. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Dynegy and First Energy both cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. PSE&G was raised to buy. Western Digital raised to neutral at Goldman Sachs with a price target of 68. HD Supply raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. AMD raised to buy at Mizuho. And American Axle cut to sector perform at RBC. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says she is shocked, shaken, and deeply saddened by the truck attack on a Berlin Christmas market that killed at least 12 people and injured 48 others yesterday. Merkel told reporters it would be particularly sickening if it turns out the attacker was an asylum seeker who had sought refuge in Germany. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says the assassination of the Russian ambassador to Turkey makes Moscow even more determined to press ahead with Syrian talks that will offer no concessions to the terrorists. The ambassador was gunned down in Ankara by a gunman apparently protesting Russia's military role in Syria. In sports and Monday Night Football, the Redskins' playoff hopes were dented after losing to the Panthers. In the NBA, the Wizards won. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, there is new hope in the treatment of early prostate cancer. A new laser therapy is shown to be successful, according to The Lancet Oncology. Bob, almost 200 men went through the trial in Europe, and about half showed no signs of the disease 2 years later.
And this is really important. If you don't take this seriously, you do so at your own risk. The American Cancer Society says about one man in 39 will die of prostate cancer. It's the second leading cause of cancer death in American men, behind only lung cancer.
And especially men, and women too, but especially men, we don't like going to the doctor, but please, you should get this checked out just to see if there are any problems, just in case, so they can treat this. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Michael. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report, brought to you by Monaco Tourism. For the most important events, choose more than a venue. Choose a country that makes sustainability a core value. Monaco. Some critics are calling it the Obama administration's parting shot at coal. And 1 month before Donald Trump's inauguration, his vow to personally aid the coal industry just got a bit harder. Industry officials are complaining a last-minute environmental policy could be fatal to the most efficient way to dig coal, called longwall mining. The process uses huge machines to cut coal from the earth in slices that can run for miles underground. Proponents say the law will protect streams and groundwater from damage, and the administration contends it will have a negligible impact on the coal industry overall. Robert Murray, chief executive of Murray Energy, calls the rule unlawful and destructive and a thinly veiled attempt to destroy the coal industry and put miners out of work. The Interior Department's stream protection rule is set to take effect just days before the new president takes office. It could only be cut short by a Republican Congress whose anti-Obama to-do list is already piled high. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Now 6:51 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. We've heard a lot during this election year about the economic struggles of the Rust Belt states. But the most economically troubled state of all may actually be Wyoming. That, at least, is the verdict of the Bloomberg Economic Evaluation of States Index, which ranks Wyoming dead last in both absolute terms and percentage change since the last recession. There are two main reasons the state has been lagging. The obvious one is that Wyoming's economy is built around energy extraction, and the past couple of years have been tough on the energy business. With energy prices now rising, Wyoming's coal mines, uranium mines, and natural gas rigs could be due for a rebound. But it also seems significant that, in an era when jobs have been migrating away from rural areas and towns and toward big metropolitan areas, Wyoming is the only state in the U.S. without a metro area of more than 100,000 people. As production work such as manufacturing and mining is automated, interactions between humans are becoming more and more important economically. The bigger the city, the more the interactions, which makes things tough for a state with no cities to speak of. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Brookings discussing a post-Paris climate agenda involving the U.S. and Japan. Bloomberg Government holds a webinar on the effects of President-elect Donald Trump's transition on lobbyists. And Mr. Trump is in Palm Beach, Florida this week at his Mar-a-Lago club, while Democratic senators work on plans to force a lengthy debate on some of his nominees for cabinet positions. Joining us with more on that effort now is Bloomberg News Senate reporter Steve Dennis. Good morning, Stephen. Is the rule here, if you can't beat him, delay him?
Exactly. The Democrats don't have the power anymore to block nominees or filibuster them. They changed that rule when they were in charge, and now they sort of have to deal with the consequences. And now they can sort of delay things a little bit, maybe a few weeks or a little bit longer, given that they can still sort of hold up each nominee for 30 hours on the Senate floor. But they really want to put a spotlight on some of these nominees that they think separate Trump from his populist rhetoric and from his voters, people like Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury pick, who ran a bank that foreclosed on a lot of people and made a lot of money and used to be a Goldman Sachs banker. And these are the kinds of picks that you can expect to hear a lot of attacks from Democrats on over the next month.
Is there any sign at all of any Republican opposition to these nominees?
So far, there isn't. And so that means they basically can't do anything without Republicans breaking ranks. They need three Republicans on any one of these picks. The one who has probably gotten the most concern from Republicans so far is Rex Tillerson, the Exxon CEO who Trump wants to be his Secretary of State. There are a group of Republicans who are concerned about his Russia ties and want to ask more questions about that. And Rand Paul, the sort of libertarian from Kentucky, wants Secretary of State nominee Tillerson to say that the Iraq war was a mistake and that we shouldn't have more regime change in the Middle East. And so he's going to be kind of pulled in different directions in his hearings. And in the Foreign Relations Committee, it's a 10-9 split. So any one Republican splitting from the, Trump's nominee could end up killing that nomination in committee.
Now, under the rules, realistically, how long could they delay these nominations?
Well, potentially months for some of them, mainly because the Republicans have a lot of other things they want to do. I mean, they have a packed agenda. They want to repeal Obamacare very quickly. They want to do tax reform. They want to pass budgets. They have all these other things they want to do. So if you want to just do nominations, you could probably wrap that up in, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks of all-night sessions. But the reality is they're going to want to do some of these other things first. And if you have to do 30 hours on each of these nominations, that takes a while.
Bloomberg News Senate reporter Stephen Dennis, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM, HD2. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And look who's back. David is with me to tell us what's
a short respite, one day off. We're continuing to piece together about what happened yesterday in Ankara and Berlin. And Zurich, of course, will have live updates from Bloomberg reporters throughout the morning. We'll be looking at the implications of those attacks. Jim Moore, the head of investment solutions at PIMCO, will join us. We had that BOJ decision overnight. John Vail from Nikko Asset Management will be here. And we'll be speaking with Chuck Todd, the moderator of Meet the Press, along with David Burson. He is the chief economist at Nationwide. So a lot of different perspectives this morning. As I said, a lot of updates on the news throughout the morning as well.
David Gura and Tom Keene coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance, and Karen Moscow, a look at the markets, if you will.
Yeah, and I'm watching some earnings right now here, Bob. We heard from Jefferies Group. That's the investment bank whose trading results often foreshadow performance at bigger Wall Street firms. It said fourth quarter revenue from that business more than doubled as a boost from fixed income extended the firm's streak of gains. Also hearing from General Mills, its second quarter profit just missing analyst estimates by 1 cent. S&P E-mini futures are up 4 points. Dow E-mini futures up 29. And NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 6. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.56%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 20 cents to $52.32 a barrel. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.